106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Recording. Are you good?
For the record, if I keep hearing coyotes, and if they get louder and you can start hearing animals in the background because I've got my window open, just let me know.
Okay. I don't hear anything right now. Actually, I think I do faintly hear it. You should go shoot him.
Yeah, sure. Let me go take my 22 and just shoot into the middle of the night at like 1:30. That'll totally not wake up my neighbors and startle the shit out of my family.
But it sounds fun.
Yeah, no thanks.
Okay. Welcome back, everybody. It's episode 60. It's going to be my first video episode on YouTube. But you can also listen to the audio version of this on pretty much every podcast platform. Yeah, got my friend Jacob here. Say hi to the people, Jake.
Hi, you all beautiful people.
we're basically here to talk about WandaVision, first three episodes on Disney Plus.
Yeah, it's very interesting. I recommend it.
And, I do as well. I talked about the first two episodes last week. Well, technically since... I'm not recording this. Well, I haven't been recording or posting really on Saturdays as much as I used to. I recently got a new job, so yeah, it sometimes can be a little all over the place in terms of when these episodes come out, at least for now. But eventually I'll get back to a regular schedule. And yeah, basically last episode I reviewed the first two episodes. This time, I guess we'll just talk about, you know, all three episodes as a whole, since Jacob hasn't talked about it really yet. It's still pretty fresh on your mind since you watched it today, so, yeah.
It is, yeah.
We're also going to be talking about 2019's Parasite, which won, I believe, 4 awards at the Oscars. Including Best Picture, which was a big deal because it was the first foreign film to win Best Picture, which that was very cool. But, what else? Booksmart as well, 2019's Booksmart, yes. Directed by Olivia Wilde.
Booksmart loved it, it was funny. Mm-hmm.
And then also stay tuned for after that, I will be talking about... 2 movies and 1 show, just solo. Those movies being Outside the Wire, which just came out on Netflix with Anthony Mackie, and also Our Friend, which just got released but was supposed to come out in 2019, so it's technically a 2019 film, but I'd just consider it 2021. But it stars Jason Segel, Dakota Johnson, and Casey Affleck, and yeah, Our Friend. It's a really, really good movie, so we'll get into that later. And then I'll also be talking about the Netflix docuseries Night Stalker, The Hunt for a Serial Killer, so stay tuned for all that. But for now, we're going to talk about some movie and just pop culture news. No Time to Die, amongst many other movies, has been delayed, like Morbius and Camila Cabello's Cinderella movie that was supposed to come out. There's a lot of movie delays. Too much for me to even, you know, look up everything, but I thought sucks I would mention. Yeah.
Sucks that there's been all these delays. No thanks to COVID.
Mm-hmm.
It's been not so great year for movies to come out just because of the COVID delaying all the production.
Yeah.
And whatnot.
As long as things start to get better, I think we're going to get a lot of really good movies this year. And I really hope that Spider-Man 3 isn't pushed back, because that's the one I'm looking forward to most.
Right. Knock on wood, nothing goes awry this year.
Yeah. Let me see. Godzilla versus Kong. The release date jumps ahead, actually, to March 26th of 2021. It'll be available in select theaters as well as HBO Max.
I really look forward to that movie because I am an avid monster movie fan. I like monster movies, or just things that have large frame of scale, fight scenes, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like Pacific Rim, for example. That was a great monster movie. I love the atmosphere, the weighty feel of the robots fighting and whatnot. Mm. So just to name an example of a movie that I like, or to pull reference from, that was fairly decent.
I haven't watched all of Pacific Rim, but I'll definitely have to check it out eventually. I have seen both Godzilla movies. I haven't seen the Kong Skull Island, but I have seen the, I believe it was Steven Spielberg's King Kong with, I think Jack Black was in that movie, wasn't he?
Kong Skull Island?
No. I'm talking about the older, not older one, like early 2000s, I think. I'm pretty sure he was in that, but I could be mistaken. But yeah, I haven't seen Kong Skull Island. That has a pretty good cast, like Samuel L. Jackson and
yeah, I've actually seen that one, but from what I remember of that movie, it was pretty decent. It was pretty good. Although, here's the thing that was interesting about it. Kong in that movie is much smaller, and he's not fully grown, so you're gonna, when you see Kong, you shouldn't be disappointed when you see him for size.
Right.
You know, because Kong is supposed to be much bigger. But in that movie, he's depicted as adolescent when he takes on all the skull crawlers and all the other foes and enemies he has to deal with.
Nice. Let me see. Yeah, there's been a lot of, like, TV spots, I think, that have been coming out. I know the Super Bowl is right around the corner, so I think there's going to be a lot of trailers coming out around that time. So,
you know, the Super Bowl is one of my favorite times of the year. Not for the sports, but for the commercials. I love all the weird stuff that comes out of it. And one of my favorites that's come out of the Super Bowl commercial is, do you remember years ago they made like a weird baby commercial? I think it was something that had to do with like PlayStation.
Was it Puppy Monkey Baby?
No, it wasn't Puppy Monkey Baby. It was like something else. You know, I'll have to find it later and I'll have to show you, because I can't remember what it is right now.
I remember one where there's like...
Although Puppy Monkey Baby was very weird and very...
Yeah.
On my list of favorites.
There's that one with the, like, pregnant mom or whatever, and then the dad has a bag of Pringles and the baby ends up, like...
Oh my god, yeah.
Yeah, you remember that?
I do remember that. That one... That was interesting.
My favorite one by far is the one where the dude goes in the time machine and like.
No. Yeah.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
I know exactly what.
It comes out and he thinks the little kid, he like actually traveled. He's like, oh my god.
Yeah, he goes in the box, the makeshift fake time machine, and then he thinks the kid like aged to like 60 or 70 or whatever, because he's got a bag of, what was it, Pringles or Doritos he had?
Doritos.
Doritos. Yeah, it was a Doritos. That's what it was.
Love it. Have you seen the Rick and Morty Pringles ad?
I don't think I have.
It's really funny.
I'm going to have to watch that sometime.
Comicbook.com reports Disney's live-action Peter Pan and Wendy cast comedian Jim Gaffigan as Mr. Smee. Jude Law is in talks to play Captain Hook. I like Jude Law as the pick for Captain Hook. I think he'll do fine. Not worried about Jim Gaffigan being funny, because I think he is a good comedian and will be good as Mr. Smee, even though he may not seem like the best pick. Well, actually, I can kind of see it in a lot of ways. I'm not sure if you're familiar with him or not.
But... not entirely. Jim Gaffigan, right?
Yeah.
I'm not too familiar with what he does, but I am familiar with the name.
Mm-hmm. Yep. He's a good comedian. Last thing I wanted to say. Yeah. I'm sure a lot of people have heard by now, but Larry King, the famous broadcaster from TV and radio, has died at the age of 87. I'm not entirely sure if it was COVID or not. I know he was being treated for COVID-19, but it could have been something else entirely. A lot of that's unsure right now. People die in a car wreck, and it's just like, oh yeah, they died of COVID, just because they had COVID in their system. So it's just like, I don't know.
I'm sure we'll learn later down the road of what happened, what he died from.
Yeah, but that's unfortunate. I never really had any attachment to him, but I always recognized him as a pop culture icon, so I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that are really gonna miss him. I know that H3 podcast, Ethan and Ela over there, they like Larry King quite a bit. If I'm not mistaken, it's Larry King that they like. But yeah, sad to hear that.
I am too.
I feel like, if I'm not mistaken, that's like the first big celebrity death of 2021, unless there's just like another one I didn't hear about. But
I haven't heard of anyone else, you know, large celebrity deaths in 2021 other than Larry King.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's a shame. My heart goes out to all the families and people who really like them and had like more deep connection to what he did as a talk show host and television host. Did he host television shows?
I think so. Pretty sure. But, yeah, that's pretty much all the news I have. So, would you like to talk about WandaVision first or get into the movies first?
I'd like to talk about WandaVision first.
All right, let's do it. So, episodes 1, 2, and 3, I have some notes pulled up here. Episode 1 is supposed to be 50s era sitcom, and it's called Film Before a Live Studio Audience. And what did you think?
I thought it was very interesting. I very much liked the aspect that they went with, like, increasing timelines from 50s to 60s to 70s.
Mm-hmm.
In three different episodes.
What did you think about the first episode in particular, where, you know, he has to you know, prepare, have the meal prepared for the boss, and just like, what's the kind of the speculation you had in the first episode of what might be going on, or did you think that it could be just,
you know, yeah. When I first saw the episode and was watching through, I wasn't very certain or sure of what was going on. I found it very, very entertaining regardless, but I had no real premise or real insight or really any clues of what was going on.
And also you had Kitty from
That 70s Deborah Jo Rupp.
Yep, I believe so.
Yep, that's her name. I actually just pulled that out because I was thinking of her name.
Yeah, playing Mrs. Hart.
I thought, you know, I like that. I like seeing her again in a different TV show. I thought that
especially
was very
like
nice.
Especially like a sitcom kind of thing.
Right. Even, you know, as iconic as it is that she was played as Kitty in that 70s show, it was nice to see her pop up in something else because you don't really usually see older actresses that much anymore when they go into retirement or they say they've had enough. Like Rick Moranis, you remember him.
Yeah.
He went into, he stopped doing movies and stuff after he had kids because he didn't want to, what was it? He didn't want to be popular or he just wanted to spend more time with his family. I think that's
something
what it
like
was.
That.
Something like that.
Yeah.
So it's just nice to see older older famous people who have been in stuff just pop back up and, you know, play in new things again.
Right. Also, you had the Stark toaster commercial in this episode.
Yes, I thought that was super interesting that they had Stark Industries stamped on that.
Yeah. That was pretty cool.
But it was pretty cool indeed.
My favorite part of the episode for sure was when Mrs. Hart and Arthur Hart were leaving the house, and then that lobster that was yeeted through the window just was like on the door. I was like,
yeah, that was great. Funny. I love that they had that there as like a door knocker.
Yeah. That was funny. In terms of kind of the larger scale of it, this episode really doesn't give anything away at all, I would say,
in terms of the larger picture. However, I do want to point something out that I found very intriguing and very weird at the same time.
What's that?
When they were having dinner and Vision had to pull, what was his name again? The man's name?
Arthur.
When Vision had to pull the piece of what would be sausage or, sausage
something
out
like
of
that. I think
so. It looked like sausage. When they pulled it out of his throat and he got back up, he went on as if nothing happened.
Yeah.
And I found that really, really weird because what's going on? Why is this happening? And I found that very weird and peculiar in the very first episode. Why are they acting like nothing's happening? What's going on? Is this some kind of time reality warp type thing? Did Wanda or Vision use their powers? And it didn't look like they did. So it makes me wonder what's going on. Is there a bigger thing that we don't know going on in the background that we're going to have to wait to see in later episodes? And the same thing kind of happens throughout the other two episodes afterwards, weird, peculiar things going on.
Yeah.
And I'm sure we'll talk about that later down the road.
When you say that they weren't using their powers, I mean, they kind of were, though.
They were, but it looked like they weren't using their powers or anything at all.
Well,
when the weird stuff started happening.
True. Yeah, that's a good point.
And not to mention, they also looked very weird. They started to act almost out of character.
Mm-hmm.
Which I also found very interesting.
The part with Mrs. Hart when her husband is choking, she's looking at Wanda like, stop it, stop it. Like, she's, at first she's like laughing, and then you can kind of see like tears starting to build up in her eyes, and then you realize, no, she's saying, stop it, make it stop. Like, I've watched it twice, the episode twice now, and I was like, so like, in a way, she kind of is maybe like trapped inside her body, kind of like a demon just like taking control, and like, you can see what's happening, but you can't quite do anything about it.
Right, and I don't know what's going on. I'm curious, like, are those people being mind controlled? What's with the different eras and TV time setups? Like, what's going on? I want to know the bigger picture. And then that, you know, I'm just going to say this. That segues into this, the TV at the end of the episode. Yeah. That is what really made me suspicious and wonder what was going on and if these people were being mind controlled or if there was some bigger picture going on. I wasn't too sure, and I just will have to wait and see what happens in the later episodes.
Yep. Let's move on to talking about episode 2. It's called Don't Touch That Dial. It's set in 60s era sitcom. And let me see. Oh yeah, this starts off with them sleeping in separate beds because, you know, that's kind of how it was back in the day a little bit. Although, I don't know, it was a little bit weird, but like, I was like, actually, no, that makes sense because they wouldn't show it on TV shows, like people sleeping together, and they wouldn't insinuate that they had sex. And like, it was a big deal when, like, I think I Love Lucy, when she was pregnant and all that, because like, it was the first time it was ever insinuated that a character had sex on TV. It's just like, whoa. And then you look at Game of Thrones and it's just like, oh my God. But yeah, I actually really enjoyed this episode overall. I loved the talent show. Vision was kind of...
Oh, the talent show was fantastic.
Vision was kind of drunk. He seemed like he was drunk, kind of, and I thought that was funny.
I found that funny, too. I like that he seemed drunk all because he had a piece of gum stuck in him.
That's pretty funny. And then that part where Wanda makes the piano turn into like a cardboard thing, or like a cardboard cutout, and the guy's like, that was my grandma's piano. That part was funny. But yeah, overall, this episode kind of felt, even though it was a different kind of like story that they did with it, it still kind of felt the same as the first episode in a lot of ways.
You know, the one thing that I really liked about this episode is that later down the road, it went from black and white to color.
Yeah, I love that part.
I found that very interesting that they went from that, because what was it? What was it around that time that TV started going from black and white to color television? Or just color television was more prominent in homes or started becoming prominent?
Yeah. Something like that.
Something like that. Well, either way, it was an interesting but nice touch.
I know that at least by 1969, there was color movies and stuff like that because of Sharon Tate. Because she was murdered in 69. Nice, but not nice that she was murdered. That's kind of funny that, like, that's kind of my reference point, in a way. But, oh well.
Never mind. Color TV came out in, actually, 1953. I'm not kidding. I actually just looked it up.
Then why the fuck? I don't know. Would that mean that it's 40s, then 50s? I don't think so.
Okay, it says color was proclaimed... Color TV standard was proclaimed in 1953, but it was not until early 70s that it became more popular and was more wide used.
By the way, for people watching, this is not a dirty ass blanket. It's supposed to look like a tortilla.
No, it's a dirty blanket. Just he's lying. He don't know what he's talking about. He lost his mind years ago.
Oh my god. But yeah.
Secretly, we're in a mental asylum, and we're just watching him and letting him do this as an experiment.
That's like a Twilight Zone episode, I feel like. Speaking of which, I'm probably going to watch that soon. So I've seen a lot of the episodes, but I'm going to like sit down and actually watch it, as well as the new series that came out. But episode three, not one, episode three of...
Three there, man. Three. Not three one.
of WandaVision is called Now in Color. And it's supposed to be in the 70s, right? Or no, 60s, right? Wait.
70s. Because right. The first episode was 50s, the second episode was 60s, then the third episode was 70s.
I'm looking forward to the 80s episode.
I am too. I'm very interested in what's going to happen.
I wonder if they're going to do a 90s episode, because... Well, let me think about it.
Well, if they're going in sequential order, then I would hope that they would be going in sequential order until, you know, current day standards.
I don't think they're quite going to do that.
And if they're not going to do that, then I hope they do at least something interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because the next episode will be the fourth episode. And if I'm not mistaken, I think the last two episodes are supposed to be more like Marvel movies and stuff like that.
Okay. You were talking about that earlier.
Yeah.
They were going to be like Marvel episodes. And you also said that Marvel put a nice budget towards WandaVision.
Mm-hmm.
A large very budget, nice budget. So the overall quality of this should be really, really good. Mm-hmm. Number one. Number two... It should definitely be very entertaining, considering the budget.
Mm-hmm. And have a good cohesive story and not just be all over the place.
Did you say something earlier about this using more practical effects instead of CGI?
Yeah, it seemed like it, at least in the first two episodes, they seem pretty practical, like with the plate. You remember when the plate like broke on Vision's head?
I do.
That I feel like that was all practical.
Yeah, that looked very much like practical effects.
Yeah.
And if it wasn't, I'm very impressed.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, still, it looked like practical effects nonetheless. And it was very nice.
Yeah. And a lot of the second episode, I feel like, could have been practical too with the talent show scenes.
Oh, they probably had to be because, you know, props that you can move or touch by hand would be something you really need instead of, you know, CGI and trying to have your performers touch and move things, actors try and touch things, and it would be a little more difficult if you didn't have practical effects for that.
Right. But as it starts to get more action and superhero oriented, it'll definitely start to be more digital effects, which I have no problem with. But I do think at a certain extent, Marvel should start going back to more practical effects.
I do too. I like practical effects in TV shows and movies more for the feel of authenticity that the object, that the character or living being or what's on screen is interacting with it feels more real.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, it doesn't look so cheesy or cheap. It, you know, has substance to it.
Right. Yeah, so this episode, a lot of really weird things happen.
A lot of weird things. Like,
also, I didn't mention in second episode, you had the whole helicopter thing.
Yeah, I was thinking of mentioning that, but mm-hmm. I didn't really get a chance to squeeze that in there. It was interesting because the very beginning of the episode, they had a colored helicopter.
Yeah.
But and, Wanda was in black and white when she picked it up.
Yeah. Also, I don't know if you noticed, but you can hear a helicopter going over and then sound kind of like it's hitting something, and then just like that's it. And then she goes outside and sees that in the bushes. It's pretty weird. And it has a sword symbol on it, which, do you want me to tell you what sword is? Because it's a comic book thing.
I saw that there was a symbol on it, and I was wondering what that meant and if it meant anything. If it had any kind of like significance.
Because honestly, I could tell you what my theories are, and I think my theories might be true, so.
I mean, I'm just kind of thinking right now that these are like flashbacks or memories going through Wanda's mind. If she's like unconscious.
I think Wanda is the real villain of this show. Mm-hmm. Take that in.
You know, you're not wrong because at no point at all during the weird moments did her character ever skip out of beat or rewind and say something else.
Right. I think it's her manipulating all this stuff, whether she knows it or not. And while the beekeeper that came out of the manhole, which sounds like a terrible name, manhole, but that beekeeper and the helicopter and just all these strange things going on, thinking it's dangerous, it's villains or whatever, like bad guys out there. It's actually people trying to help her. And the voice on the radio, actually, that is Jimmy Woo, who you've seen Ant-Man and the Wasp, right?
Yes. You had me watch that person a while ago.
Oh, yeah. He was the guy that kept showing up at the house when Scott would, you know, when they were going to check on him or whatever, under his house arrest or whatever. You remember that character?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, that's actually him talking. And also, other people that are supposed to show up in the show, Darcy Lewis from the Thor movies. I don't know if you remember her character much. I believe played by Kat Dennings. But yeah, her character is supposed to be in this at some point, as well as, oh, well, she's already in it, Monica Rambeau, who goes by Geraldine in this. So that's actually the daughter of Captain Marvel's friend in the Captain Marvel movie. So kind of cool. And S.W.O.R.D. is basically, let me look up what it stands for. It's basically a space version, or like time and space and the whole universe version of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh, I think I remember you talking about S.W.O.R.D. Wasn't that something that The aliens, what were they? They can shapeshift. Oh,
yeah, Skrulls.
Skrulls.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't that like a space force commanded by Skrulls in like a space station orbiting Earth?
Yep.
You were talking about that a while ago. Okay.
Also, okay, Nick Fury, I believe, is supposed to be like kind of the head of that. So that's mm-hmm. where he was at the end of, shoot, what movie was that? Spider-Man Far From Home. He was up in yes. space. Yeah. And I believe that's, he was in that space station, basically, from the comics, which, that's fucking cool. But it stands for Sentient World Observation and Response Department. That's a dope name.
Yeah, it is. It's a mouthful, too.
Yeah, just like S.H.I.E.L.D. was. Strategic Homeland Intervention Enforcement Logistics Division. I think I got that right. Wow, I'm surprised I remembered that.
Well, if not, I mean, yeah.
I got it close, at least. But yeah, also, episode 3, Wanda gave birth to 2 baby boys.
Ooh, yes. You know, I do have something I want to correlate to that real quick. I don't know if you noticed this or not, but in episode 2, it kind of looked like Wanda was beginning pregnancy.
How do you mean?
Like, you know how when women are in their first trimester, they've got that tiny baby bump?
Mm-hmm.
It looked like her character was starting to have a tiny baby bump appear.
It's possible. I kind of know what you mean when she's wearing that like, one piece kind of thing.
Yeah, I noticed that when she was wearing the one piece. I wasn't sure or very certain that it was like a baby bump thing, but I noticed it and it looked very interesting, like something that just kind of popped out of nowhere. I was like, is she pregnant? And then just so happened to be on the 3rd episode, she was pregnant.
Well, actually, they revealed that in the 2nd episode at the end.
Oh, yes, they do.
So, yeah, it could have been that, or it could have just been, that's just the way her body shape is, but...
I don't know. I speculated something, and at the end of episode 2, I got my answer.
Mm-hmm.
Progressed to episode 3, and she gives birth to twin boys.
I'm trying to think if there's anything else. Oh, yeah, she also yeeted Monica Rambeau out of there. That was quite something. Having her come out of the simulation or whatever she's in. I wonder if she remembers who she is. Oh, yeah, that was
really, really weird.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and then when she was talking about Ultron, oh, my God. Like, and then she was talking about Pietro, and she was starting to, like, kind of go back to her accent a little bit. Because that's one thing they were actually talking about in the beginning. Was how, because I don't know if you like really recall this, but her character in the MCU is Sokovian, so she has a bit of an accent.
Mm-hmm. And, I remember that. I remember when they were first introducing Wanda mm-hmm. and her brother
mm-hmm.
In Age of Ultron. and yeah. who and what their characters are like. It was some. Interesting.
Yeah. But yeah, once she started actually talking about that again, I was like, oh man, she's finally starting to remember where she came from.
Right, that part really caught me off guard when she started talking about her brother.
Ultron killed him. And it's just like, whoa, that's a name I haven't heard in a long time.
Yeah, whoa, you pulled that one out of a dark rabbit hole.
But yeah, I like how Wanda is talking like, you know, she's talking like an all-star, everybody's favorite American girl from the sitcom. Just like, well, I think that went well. And just like talking like a talking like an American, I guess, like an American woman in a sitcom rather than somebody from Sokovia with an accent that's similar to Russian, I feel like.
It sounded pretty similar to Russian.
But yeah, I think that's kind of it for WandaVision right now. Is there anything else you wanted to say about WandaVision?
Not particularly, although I do want to bring this to light. You know how we were talking about all the weird things that happened, like the dinner in the first episode, in the second episode, the radio, and all the other stuff that happened? Mm-hmm. The third episode, remember when the neighbor decided to, was cutting through the wall?
Yeah, that was so weird.
That was extremely weird.
Yeah.
I want to know why the characters outside the show, outside of like the main cast of what you see, are acting weird. Why do they seem like they want to cause malicious intent to the characters or do really strange, unprovoked things that throw you off course? Hmm. What happened? Why? What's right. going on there? Like, I want to know what's going on. I'm intrigued, to say the least.
Mm-hmm. Same here, for sure.
So I'm just curious, is this some kind of like mass camp where Wanda is being fooled into some kind of show, or
mm-hmm.
what's going on? Like, I want to see the bigger picture.
Right.
And I'm not sure or very certain. So I'm very drawn into this show because of all the weird things that I'm seeing, and I want to know more. So I will be sticking around for episode 4 and the later episodes that come out until it's done.
Mm-hmm. Do you think the week-by-week release aspect is hurting the show at all?
Mm-hmm.
You watched all the first 3 episodes altogether,
all in one sitting, yes. So. I watched it all in one sitting, and I like when you can watch movies or TV shows all in one sitting, because not only does it allow you to watch it all in one sitting, it's easier to watch one thing to the next thing and make more connections
right
quicker, and as opposed to by a weekly basis where you could easily forget some things in between, and you may have to rewatch the episode if you forget what you were watching.
Luckily, this show does have a recap, so.
Yeah, it's nice it has a recap, although it would be nicer if you could just watch the episodes one after the other. Mm-hmm. And I mean, not that you can't rewatch the episodes after they've come out, right. It's just kind of sucky to begin with that you can't just watch them in sequential order and be able to enjoy it that way. Not mm-hmm. like how you can with Netflix's services, where when they make a TV show, they usually release it all at once.
Right. Yep.
Okay. So I guess in a way, yes, I do think it's hurting the show.
I feel the same way. I think I understand why Disney's doing it, because it's seeping into February for this show, so you're gonna get people signing up for another month. So I understand it for that aspect, but also right. I would prefer, especially me wanting to do reviews, it would be better for me to do it as a whole rather than week by week. But
right. I can understand the way it is. I can understand them trying to do drip feed to like keep viewers around and keep them coming back and
yeah,
other sorts of things like that. And I can also understand that Disney Plus doesn't have a bunch of TV shows and too much content on it at the moment. So you're trying to keep your audience around and keep them wanting more and trying to come back. So mm-hmm. I get that in that aspect.
I mean, hey, I didn't have any problem with it for Mandalorian. And,
no, I thought it was great for Mandalorian. It made me keep yeah. wanting to come back and want more and want to watch more and until it ended.
And it did make it feel more like, oh, I'm anticipating next week and all that. But for this, I think the story would have felt a little more cohesive if people were able to watch it in one sitting.
Right.
And I feel like it would be really long. I think the last two episodes will be like an hour long. So that would probably end up making it like, I don't know, 4 hours altogether or something like that. But it's a lot, but honestly not that much. So. But. Let's talk about. You want to talk about Parasite or Booksmart first?
Let's talk about Booksmart and then we'll go Parasite.
Alrighty. So Booksmart is a 2019 film directed by Olivia Wilde. And let me pull up the cast real quick. And you can just go ahead right now and just kind of give some of your thoughts on it, your general review. go ahead.
So I liked Booksmart. I thought it was very funny. And I also thought it was a very interesting take on high school life and what it was like, or what it would be like for characters, I guess, nowadays to be in high school or... maybe not that. I liked it more as a take on comedy.
Yeah. I mean, I found it pretty relevant for the most part.
I do too.
Aspects, and obviously fantastical in certain parts to make it more comedic. But there was a lot of parts that I was like, I feel like I've met people like this. So it stars Caitlin Dever as Amy and Beanie Feldstein as Molly. You also have Jessica Williams as Miss Fine, which she was a funny character. I liked her.
She's a great character. To anyone who hasn't seen Booksmart, you'll like her character a lot.
Mm-hmm. You also have Jason Sudeikis as Principal Brown, Lisa Kudrow as Charmaine, Will Forte as Doug. His part was funny. That's the dad, where he was like... he had like all the foods named after like certain things, and it's just like, being your dad was the greatest honor. Just like, oh my god, too much. And I don't know how to pronounce this guy's name very well, but Skylar Gizondo as Jared, Diana Silvers as Hope. I like Diana Silvers because she was in Space Force, and she was like the one part of it I kind of found fun. But Billy Lord is also in it, which is she's actually
Gigi.
Yeah, Gigi. But her mom is, why am I forgetting her name? Princess Leia.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's her mom. Yep. So, Carrie Fisher. That's basically the main cast. You also have Molly Gordon as AAA, which I liked her character in the end. And then Mason Gooding as Nick. I guess I would add that one too, because he was a pretty big character, I would say. But, overall, good cast. I liked the two main characters a lot. Their friendship was so funny.
Yeah, I was going to mention something about that. I enjoyed the two main characters because it shows an interesting dynamic between what a friendship of two would be like.
Mm-hmm. And
all the little things that you can pull from it, just inside jokes, things they talk about, handshakes, things they share.
Certain code words that they know what they mean, but doesn't make sense to people.
Like Malala.
Yeah. That was a fun movie. I've seen this movie quite a few times, and it never gets old. I love the comedy in it. It's very well written, and definitely one of the best comedies of the last decade or so. I would definitely recommend you check it out. A lot of people compare it to Superbad. It's basically female Superbad in a way, except I would say the two main characters are not like the characters from Superbad at all. Just the kind of premise of it, like teenagers trying to go to a party, which I don't know if you've seen Superbad or not. But
I haven't, but it's on my list of things to watch eventually.
It's a funny movie. Yeah, it has Jonah Hill in it, and I forget who else. Michael Cera, I think, and then I forget the guy who plays McLovin, but that's a classic character. I am McLovin. He's great. But yeah, overall, I love Booksmart. It's maybe not in my top 10 favorite movies, but it's definitely up there in the movies that I like quite a bit. And I've rewatched it quite a bit, or quite a few times. So any last thoughts on the movie for you?
Oh, I enjoyed the part of the movie where the girls get into the pizza driver's car and he ends up being the pedo.
Yeah.
That's wanted. I find hilarious. And one of my favorite parts is that the girls use him as information to end up getting Amy out of jail. Spoiler alert.
Yeah. Sorry.
I should have said that before. No, but you're spoiler
good.
Alert.
You're good. Yeah, that's all good. My favorite part was I just had it. It'll come back to me. If you have anything else to say, go ahead.
Oh, I do right now. Hope. Diana Silver's Hope. Mm. I like that she ended up being the love interest that Amy wanted or had gone for later down the road instead of the other love interest, Ryan.
Yes, Ryan. Yep. Yeah. And the fact that the two love interests of the two main characters ended up together, it's just like, wait, what? I guess it's not that crazy of an idea, but
no, I mean, if you put it in the premise that it's a movie about kids going to a party, parties happen, things happen at parties, you tend to hook up with people that you maybe wouldn't expect to hook up with. I mean, for crying out loud, Amy hooked up with Hope, and Ryan ended up hooking up with what was his name? George?
Nick,
my bad.
George. Oh, I remember now. My favorite part is when they're in the Uber and then the aux cord gets put on and it's like,
oh no, yeah, and they're fucking watching porn in case that Amy gets laid with Ryan.
Yeah. And the principal's just like, was that Cardi B? Fucking lost it. That's my favorite. That's a great joke.
That was boy. That was fantastic. I like that scene too a lot, just because it kind of shows too what teachers do behind the scenes instead of
school. Yeah. Yeah, like, just kind of like how Miss Fine.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's weird. Yeah. It's weird to see like how Miss Fine was going to show up at the party. She did end up showing up at the party. Mm-hmm. And that's something crazy because, you know, you wouldn't expect a teacher to go to a party. But then, wham, bam, thank you, man, you fucking find the teacher at a party and you're like, wow, you're actually cool.
Yeah. Although I think it'd be kind of weird if the principal is there. It's only cool because she's female. And in a way, that's kind of bad. It's like, if this was a guy, this would be creepy. But right. Let's not make this a whole political thing. But yeah, she was hot. She was really hot.
Yeah, her name holds up to how she looks. Fine.
We all have that teacher that was good looking. Maybe not all of us, actually.
Yeah, but a majority of you, if you say you didn't have a teacher you didn't like in high school you thought was hot, you just quit kidding yourself, man.
Mm-hmm. yeah, that's it on Booksmart. Yeah, that scene where they're dolls, that was weird and funny and reminded me of that like Team America movie or whatever with the dolls. You know what I'm talking about?
Dolls.
It's like really raunchy. It's like Team America and they're just like army dudes and like soldiers or I don't know. Yeah.
I don't know. Oh, one of my other favorites is the panda bear.
Oh my god. That's awful. And it's just like No.
Oh boy, for context, the bear, what did they call the bear? I can't remember the name of it.
I can't either.
But what happened is, for context, Amy had never done the deed. So she instead would be edging, but she would use the panda bear for her pleasure or her special pleasures. Recording's glitch.
You were saying? Sorry, it cut out a bit there.
So for context, the panda bear Amy would use to edge on because she'd never had sex or brokered the deal.
Yeah, that was funny.
That was funny, and the parents trying to kiss on it, and just knowing what you've seen, but the parents not knowing.
That
made me want to crawl in my skin.
All right, and the last topic of today is Parasite from 2019. Written and directed by Bong Joon-ho, I believe. I don't quite. How would you describe this movie?
You know, I'm not sure how I would really describe this movie.
It's listed as a comedy and drama, so I would say it has elements of horror in it for sure, and I can definitely see the comedy and the drama. But yeah, definitely mad horror vibes towards the end.
For real talk, the ending of it was like mad horror story vibes.
Spoiler alert in case we say anything about it, in case you haven't seen it.
Yes, forewarning, we agree. Spoiler alert, there's a lot of things we're probably going to be talking about that happened in movies. So if you haven't heard it or you haven't seen the movie yet, you don't want to hear us talk about it, plug your ears, turn this off, you know, just skip forward.
Yep. Scream
in outer space if you don't want to hear it.
A lower class family in South Korea. This is a South Korean film.
Yes, that's important to know that this is a South Korean film.
Mm-hmm. Which in South Korea, I hear it's a lot like, oh, you got the rich people that live in these kind of gated communities and safe places, and then you have the poverty and all that, and people living in half basements like the main family in this movie. And the son starts working for a wealthy family and ends up getting his sister into it, his dad into it, his mom into it. And eventually they're all working for this family. The family has no idea that they're related at all. And they're basically just kind of trying to scam them pretty much.
Scam them of their money and just try and live off of them, make a decent living and life for themselves.
Mm-hmm. Which in a sense you can almost empathize with them. They're like, oh, they're beating the odds and they're doing what they can to survive.
Right.
But also like at a certain point you start to wonder who the real villain of the movie is And that's one thing I always liked about the movie. It really shows the line between wealth and poverty and kind of shows the differences between, you know, how somebody with money would react and how somebody without money would react. Like, I think there's a line in here where the mom is saying something about, I love it when it rains. It's so beautiful. And then, you know, eventually you go to back to their house and it's being flooded because of the sewer.
Right. Because sewer drains. Well, because they live in like a sub basement and these rich people essentially live on a top part of a hill. The drainage is great, but this poor family lives in like a half basement where all the rainwater washes down, starts to pool up and essentially flood out homes where the drainage is not so good and, you know, can trap people. And it's really, really sad to see the comparison in the movie.
There's drunk people pissing outside their window.
Right. And they have to splash water on them to try and get them out of there. And it's also sad to see that the father says, if you put up no pissing signs, it just makes them pee more everywhere.
Yeah.
It's really sad to see that in a movie like that, but also puts into perspective the difference between being rich and then being impoverished.
Also, the amount of alcohol that they drink in this film is actually quite South Korean. I hear that in South Korea, alcoholism is quite common. So,
oh really? I didn't know that.
As far as I know, and I think that's what it's like in Japan or China too. So, yep. Fun fact. Well, not so fun fact for you there.
Yeah, not so fun.
But overall, what did you think about the movie? Did you like it? Would you watch it again? And yeah.
I enjoyed the movie overall. I thought it was a really good foreign film. Mm-hmm. And to answer your other question, I would definitely watch it again. To maybe go back and, you know, maybe if I'd missed something, I could pick back up on it and see maybe more and make more connections to it.
Right.
I was definitely thrown for a loop once all the family had started, you know, schmoozing their way in. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I thought it was interesting at first that the son started working for the rich family through a recommendation rather than being scouted for documentation and, you know, if the kid had any kind of criminal record, like what kind of education they had or whatnot. And that's another thing I also found interesting in the Korean film, that they went by people that they knew and trusted rather than like background checks and, you know, people who are honest people. And it made it easier for the family to weasel in and essentially steal money.
Yeah. I mean, they were very good at it, though.
They were very good, and I'll give them props to that for the movie. Yeah. Like, it was fantastic how they put that into the movie. Mm-hmm. But I will say that it was a very interesting concept to see, because here in America, we wouldn't be doing something like that. We would have background checks. We would, you know, we wouldn't be trusting someone to go through someone else to recommend this or that and be like, this person's good, and then hiring someone in without looking at their background or seeing something that might be red flag, like to make you think twice about hiring someone in.
Yeah.
So I thought that was very interesting to see in this film. Mm-hmm. But it puts into a perspective what it's like to live in different countries. Mm-hmm. As opposed to living where you may live, like, say, for example, you live in Canada, and then you see a movie of what it's like to live in, for example, China or Australia or or Russia or something further away, somewhere you wouldn't normally see life mm-hmm. being in or any kind of documentary of. So I found that very interesting to see that they put that in there. But it's also a nice inspect and insight to life in other countries and what it's like living there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously, this isn't like a full documentary of what it's like to live in South Korea or anything obviously. Like that,
yeah.
obviously, but it does give you some insight at least to what it's like.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that interesting in its own regard.
Yeah, it was a good movie overall, and I like the direction of it. I like the cinematography. I thought
yes,
the writing
the cinematography was,
smart. Was
fantastic.
Yeah. Especially in the flood scene. I thought that looked really well. Did you notice the scene where the house was being flooded and the camera basically like went underwater and then it that transitioned to like a overhead shot of them walking in the water?
Yeah, I did notice that. And you know, the cool. one really sad thing that got to me was the dog swimming around in the
I
water.
I saw that.
Ugh. That really made me feel bad because
that
imagine like how many homes have animals in them that they had to save. Like, were there any deaths or like?
Yeah.
Can you imagine living in poverty? You have animals and whatnot, but then your home floods and then you have to like try and take all the animals out as quick as you can and hold on to them and.
Mm-hmm.
If they're too small and like,
yeah,
makes you really feel enough. Bad for what you see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but yeah, that was all we had for today to talk about.
Yeah,
stay tuned for more reviews from me. But that's a wrap on Jacob's End.
Yep, and eventual episodes with me in it.
Heck yeah.
This is the last of me.
We'll definitely be doing an episode in the future about Karate Kid and Cobra Kai once he
Absolutely.
Watches that.
I do need to watch it. I have been lazy getting to it, but I'll watch it.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, Jacob, you go ahead and hang up on your end, and I'll just keep reviewing stuff, and I'll text you tomorrow.
Yep. Let me know what's up tomorrow, and I'll catch you on the flip side.
All right, buddy. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me on. And to all you wonderful people, have a good night.
All right. See you later.
All righty.
All right. Now it's just me. What's up, everybody? So, make sure it's still recording here. Yep. Few reviews right here. Reviewing Outside the Wire. Let's start with that. I'm going to pull up the IMDb real quick. Outside the Wire. Oh, man. Outside the Wire. There we go. So, Outside the Wire is directed by Michael Hafstrom, hopefully I'm saying that right, and screenplay by Rob Yescombe and Rowan Atheil, hopefully I'm saying that right. Stars Anthony Mackie as Leo and Damson Idris as Harp, hopefully I'm saying that right. Sometimes I say it right, sometimes I don't. We'll see. But yeah, I'm just going to read the description of it. In the near future, a drone pilot sent into a war zone finds himself paired with a top-secret android officer on a mission to stop a nuclear attack. That android officer being Leo, and the drone pilot thrown into battle is Harp. Yeah, I thought the action of this movie was really good. There were a lot of really good action set pieces. And I like Anthony Mackie. I've always found him not charming isn't quite the word I'm looking for. It's charismatic. Yeah, I always found him to be a charismatic actor, so I always like seeing him in things. And took a little bit different of a direction with kind of what he has been doing, which is playing Falcon and all that, and really not a whole lot else, to be honest, from what I've seen at least. But yeah, I thought this was a fun movie. I don't know if I said this or not, but it's on Netflix if you want to go check it out. Again, the action was great. I liked the cinematography, but if I'm being honest, I feel like I've kind of seen this premise before. Maybe not as much with the android part, but with everything else, I'm just kind of like, eh, it's a little bit of a generic war movie for me. So with that being said, there's my kind of short review on Outside the Wire from Netflix. So, second movie I want to talk about is Our Friend. Let me pull up the IMDb on that so I can credit the people. Directed by Gabriella Cowperthwaite. Yeah, that's hard to say. Cowperthwaite. Hopefully, I'm saying that right. And screenplay by Brad Inglesby, based on the article entitled The Friend by Matthew Teague, who is actually one of the characters of this movie. It's a not biopic, really. Well, yeah, based on a true story. Casey Affleck playing Matt Teague. You have Jason Segel as Dane Fouchix, hopefully I'm saying that right, and Dakota Johnson as Nicole Teague. You also have Isabella Kai as Molly Teague and Violet McGraw as Evie Teague. Those are Matt and Nicole's children. Basically, what this movie is about is Nicole has cancer, and it's basically this family trying to get through it while also having Jason Segel's character coming in as the friend of both of them and taking care of the family, taking care of Matt's character, trying to take care of Nicole's character, and not necessarily taking care of himself always. He is the guy that always lifts the mood when people are sad and is a real jokester. He's an aspiring comedian in the movie, so I really kind of related to him in a way. And I also really like Jason Segel as an actor and just as a person, I guess. But yeah, Casey Affleck was good in it. I haven't seen a whole lot of Casey Affleck movies, so I don't know how to, kind of compare this to his other work, but I liked him in this. Also liked Dakota Johnson. I thought she was great, and look forward to seeing more from her in the future. But yeah, I gotta say, this movie really made me ugly cry, and to the point where I didn't know if I could make it through the movie. Without going too much into it, I have dealt with cancer a lot in my life in terms of my family having it, and was a big part of my childhood. So yeah, just really connected with it on a personal level, and it just really got me in a lot of spots. So I wasn't sure for sure if I would be able to finish it or not, but I was like, I'm already this far into it, I'm just gonna keep going and wipe away the tears. And I'm not ashamed to say that I cried during it. I'm not ashamed to say I cried during any movie. But yeah, overall, love this movie so much. So please, please, please go watch it. You can rent it right now, wherever you can rent movies, for $20, most likely wherever you find it online. But yeah, I love this movie so much to the point where it'll probably be on my top 10 of this year. Technically it was a 2019 movie, but it came out this year, so yeah. I believe it just got delayed at the wrong time and then ended up getting delayed again because of 2020. So, last thing I want to talk about tonight is Night Stalker, The Hunt for a Serial Killer. This is a four-part docuseries on Netflix about the Night Stalker, which I knew nothing about going into it. So that definitely helped with the intrigue level. A lot of times I don't enjoy watching true crime documentaries if it's about something I already kind of know about, like OJ or, you know, Charles Manson and all that. I already kind of know those cases and stories and just kind of what happened with all that, and a little bit like Ted Bundy as well. But yeah, never had heard of the Night Stalker before. So it was the first time figuring out who this guy was, what he did, and he did some awful things. So I'm not going to get into it really, but I just kind of wanted to give my general review of it. And I'm kind of just giving general reviews of all of these because I'm trying to end this. I'm getting very tired now, but overall, I found it very interesting. I enjoyed all the episodes. And yeah, I'm trying to kind of think of what exactly I'm gonna say here. Yeah, so you would think in a way that this docuseries would be very much about the Night Stalker himself, about, you know, his childhood and his upbringing and what made him who he was. But if anything, it's definitely more about the detectives and the people working on the case trying to find him and the people affected by him that lived to tell the tale. But yeah, it's a lot of the things that he did was gruesome and horrible and just flat out disgusting. One thing I will say, the way he was caught, and I'm not going to say it because I want people to go watch it if you're interested. Again, it's on Netflix, four-part docuseries. Just the way he ended up being caught, I found very, very, I think this is the word I'm looking for, cathartic. Just the way it happened. But yeah, there's my review for Night Stalker and my reviews for Outside the Wire and Our Friend. Outside the Wire and Night Stalker both being on Netflix, Our Friend being available to rent right now, wherever you can rent movies. Yeah, that is the episode. Thanks again for Jacob for coming on. Thanks again to Jacob for coming on. And thank you guys for listening. You can find me at Pop Culture Podcast on Facebook and Instagram. I believe on Instagram, there's a link in the bio that'll take you to my website, which will show you where else you can listen to this. It'll get you to the merch store, as well as an option to get in contact with me if you are trying to just ask any questions, comment on anything, have a conversation, anything like that. I'm always down to talk to you guys. But yeah, this was my first video episode, so I hope you guys enjoyed it. And I hope you guys had fun listening to me and Jacob talking about WandaVision, Booksmart, and Parasite, as well as some movie news there. Yeah, this has been episode 60. Next episode should be with Matt Lane from Matt Lane Fitness. With him, then it'll be there eventually within the next couple or maybe few episodes. So just whenever we're able to reschedule that, you will be able to listen to it once it comes out. But yeah, that's everything. Thank you guys for listening. I'm ending it right here.